This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 14th of February, 2022. Obviously, markets being hit heavily with this, with these concerns, tensions, what have you, that Russia is set to invade Ukraine, at least according to U.S. intelligence officials. Beating that drum quite loudly late Friday, saying an invasion could happen as soon as this week. We have no idea if they're correct here. Russia is hotly denying their intent to invade. And all we can say is that this has thoroughly spooked markets, and we're getting sort of a classic risk on, risk off type of setup here across markets. Everything from equities, which were, of course, down. And a bit interesting there because they seem to be trying to show some resilience, at least on Friday, even after all these cranked higher Fed expectations, both in the wake of that CPI data print for January and the St. Louis Fed's Bullard's comments on the need to hike 100 basis points before mid-year. But it was this, of course, this news late Friday hitting the markets. We saw oil sharply up, safe haven seeking in the dollar and even more so the yen and in treasuries. And as mentioned, equities down. And you can see on slide two, the types of equities, generally the high beta stuff that did the worst. And interesting, marijuana stocks doing the best. Commodity sector as well. I refuse to comment on that. I have no idea why. But
Ola, obviously, I won't either.
A big move in. I'm not going to ask you to comment on cannabis. But oil tacking on another few dollars, getting pretty expensive here. It's pretty much holding the gains here to start the week, or what?
It is indeed, John. And let's just go straight to slide seven, because that's just to give an idea about the rally. We've seen both Brent crude and some like gas prices jump really pretty firm on this development on Friday. Crude oil getting Brent is getting close to that 97-100 range, which is a major area of resistance. We're just drifting a little bit as we record this, but again, it's almost a flip a coin time, because if we do see an escalation, then we know the global oil market is very tight at this moment in time, and it cannot really manage without the barrels or the disruption from Russia. So that's obviously what the market worries about. Same goes for gas. Even though we jumped 11% on the opening, but since then we just drifted down a little bit. We hit some resistance. Oil flows from Russia has slowed further, but at the same time, European EU demand for gas is coming down as well as we're slowly approaching springtime. As I said, we are very dependent on these supplies keeping up. And I think also we just have to keep in mind, last week was a little bit of a defensive week in crude oil, because the market was focusing on Iran and the potential for a nuclear deal, which could potentially pave the way for up towards a million barrels of extra additional barrels coming into the market. So we probably also had some wrong-footed market actors on Friday that helped drive this market up into the weekend.
Yeah, and it's also going to be very tough, I think, this week. There's plenty of headline risk, as you mentioned, of course, on this issue, which can go up and down. I think for it to be thoroughly removed, we need to see a very strong and steady de-escalation of the situation. This goes across markets, but disentangling that whole issue from the issue of the Fed's need to hike rates and to do so faster than was previously being priced in. We've dropped back a little bit, but not much. It was 46 basis points priced to the March FOMC meeting after Bullard's comments. That's pulled back to around 40 or slightly below. But an interesting data point on Friday, this preliminary February University of Michigan sentiment survey. I've got a couple of the points on that survey and the longer term perspective up on slide three. And on the left, I put the current conditions versus expectations. The overall index getting down to a new low, local low, 61.7, just really terrible. Look at where we are historically relative to let's call it 30 plus years, or around 30 years. We can see that the current conditions survey is getting into the worst months of the global financial crisis, getting close to that level as well on expectations. And then over on the right, I've put up the one-year inflation expectations, which, no surprise, those get pretty wild, get some pretty wild spikes when you see high gas prices or gasoline prices in the U.S. But if you notice in the past, these tended to spike in a short time frame, then revert to sort of the mean. But on a moving average basis, and I'll put a moving average in the future, that 1 year must be at a very, very high level relative to anything that's happened in modern memory. And you see the 5 to 10, they're very slow, very sluggish. We're still in the range back to the early 90s, but these are getting uncomfortable for the Fed as well, certainly in a directional sense. So nothing in there. Bad confidence, yeah, it could mean slow growth, but I think the key there is in the Michigan survey itself, where there's some questions around financial prospects, which are at their worst levels, and that, according to that portion of the survey, since 1980. So we're seeing a very interesting sentiment situation in the U.S. when we're supposed to be, you know, freeing up the economy from COVID, et cetera, in coming months. Not a very good sign, I think, for growth going forward. And then just briefly on FX, again, the dollar was firmer, not that impressively so, and it's firmed a bit further since we created this slide deck. But it really is the Japanese yen that's flashing its, showing its colors here as the safe haven of choice, as we have the long end yields globally coming down. Remember, this is just after the Bank of Japan said that today they will buy unlimited JGBs because there was pressure on that yield to rise, therefore very negative the Japanese yen. But that suddenly becomes a non-issue when yields are falling elsewhere, not pressuring, therefore, the currency. And only in your space, if I look at my chart there, the FX board on slide 4, and also show a Urian chart. Again, the market really getting caught wrong-footed by all the different themes and crossfire here. ECB sounding a bit more needing to capitulate, whereas the Bank of Japan doubling down, et cetera, had Urian very, very high. Now it's falling back lower. But Ola, look at the gold and silver there on the FX board, trending higher and broadly so against the currency space. So obviously, gold really having a good time here as well as a safe haven.
Indeed, it was. Well, we saw quite a decent jump on Fridays. It's not that doesn't happen that often. But what we also tend to find is that safe haven bids in the gold market tends to be short-lived. So we need now to see whether the market is prepared to come in and stay on the bid in this market. And one thing that potentially could lead to that bid is the fact that with oil prices now back again, getting closer to $100, inflation is going to stay high for a while, but at the same time, economic growth is potentially also going to be hurt, leaving potentially the risk of could see the number of rate hikes expectations be reduced in the US, and that could add some underlying support. But showing on slide 8 here, just to give the impact of that oil spike, because it is driving up gold, but at the same time it was driving down copper on Friday, and that just indicate that we are the market is worried about growth here going forward. So we have some of these dislocations in the market, and just returning back to slide 6 as well, just to give an idea about Russia's importance as a major supplier of commodities. We can see the performance since Thursday. This is the table I've inserted here. We can see we can kind of almost put these commodities into three categories. We got the safe haven ones, which is led by gold trading higher. We got the economic negative impact, or those being impacted by economic the slowing economic outlook. We got some of the metals, aluminium, iron ore, and copper right at the bottom, and then also near the top we have those dependent on the supplies from Russia. And I put in this table from Bloomberg, courtesy of JP Morgan, just give an idea about Russia's importance as a key supplier of raw materials. And you can see by far in terms of percentage, palladium is really a big one there. So palladium has had a bit of a strong rally as well, but plenty of commodities very much dependent on supplies from Russia.
Yeah. And we can't avoid talking about earnings. It's certainly not going to be much in focus, but we do have Peter kindly, before he left for holiday this week, he kindly updated the earnings calendar for this week, which you can find on slide 9. I've already changed one of these because I noticed the day was wrong. Some of this is due to Bloomberg. We'll try to blame Bloomberg as much as possible. That's who we rely on for the source of these, the timing here, but hopefully they're 95% plus correct as to which day they're out. Arista Networks out today, a big cloud, network related equipment for the cloud provider. Had a massive rally around the previous earnings, remember it was two earnings reports ago, back about 6 months ago, and they've been sliding since then. It's one of these highly valued, it's growing strongly, but it's one of these highly valued companies because of the industry with which it is associated, that being the cloud. So interesting to see how something like that, even if they grow reasonably well, how the market treats it from a valuation perspective, based on what we're seeing in terms of Fed expectations and generally rising yields, at least until late last week. And then on the calendar for today, again, the Fed's Bullard, I have to think he's making himself maybe a little bit unpopular among his colleagues, a bit of a loose cannon, but he was the one, of course, that triggered these the latest rise in Fed expectations with his comments about 100 basis points needed before mid-year. He'll be out jawboning on TV in an interview today. You can see that on the calendar as well. We have the Czech CPI. Notice that was expected above 9%. It's been a very aggressive central bank in responding to that. And then the very slowly going RBA up tonight with their meeting minutes. They've been surprisingly dovish. And a Chinese rate decision. Let's not forget that they recently actually eased rates. That divergence is quite remarkable, as China needing to go into stimulus mode because of their various crackdowns they've seen on technology companies and the property sector, et cetera. They've been stimulated quite well from externally, from pandemic response, fiscal stimulus, et cetera. But domestically, there are concerns about growth. So looking for a more stimulative outlook from China from here. And then the rest of the week, we have plenty of to watch for the Fed, a couple of voters out speaking later in the week on Thursday. The FOMC minutes could be interesting reading there on Wednesday. Global financial inflation benchmark up on Wednesday with the Chinese PPI. And the marquee U.S. data point of the week, U.S. January retail sales, where it's quite interesting to look at that in terms of maybe as a barometer as well for how well the U.S. consumer is doing as that fiscal cliff increasingly coming into play, stimulus checks running out, jobless claims, extended benefits running out, et cetera. An interesting data point there up on Wednesday. All right, more than ever with these kinds of, uncertain situations afoot, we need to respect that this is a very two-way situation. We need to respect the potential magnitude of volatility, the need to keep leverage under control. Something like a hot war breaking out in Europe, we have no idea what the magnitude of a move could be, but in the 5 to 10% range is not unreasonable to, as a, based on previous historical events, for how much indices can move on a news item like that. So just respect the potential for volatility. And as we always say, stay careful out there, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.